Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdy's have served this valley for decades. Also great stewards of community stewards. The Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament, which I cannot wait to be a part of, is Wednesday, May 4th. Let's fill it up for a great cause. As for Purdy Insurance, well, let's face it. You want an insurance agent that gets you the right insurance, right price, and if there's a claim, you want them to act as if it's happened to them. So that's Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. They're the best. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, keywords 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. In a few moments, Matt Leon from KYW in Philadelphia. First, our play-by-play call of the day, Syracuse. Gary Cohen with the call on Westwood.
Here's Denisier to the curling Richardson. He moves down the lane, goes over the left-hand layup. It's good, and Syracuse leads. They've come from 16 down, and the Orange lead 59-58 with 5:40 to play.
Came all the way back from 16 down and won it. And they really put on quite a show in the last, I'd say, 15, 16 minutes of that game. Played great basketball. They've been playing great basketball ever since Jim Boeheim got back from his suspension. And it's made it's interesting to see how well they played. Now, they've got 2-3 zone is always hard to get ready for, but see, this is where it doesn't bother a team like North Carolina. Again, when you're playing a conference team, okay, there are no mysteries. And that does make a difference. No mysteries. All right. Let's get to Matt Leon now, talk about Villanova, which took out Kansas to reach the Final Four. Matt Leon joins us, KYW in Philadelphia. Matt, my friend, great to have you back.
Always a pleasure.
What were your thoughts watching on Villanova? Villanova just ran through those three teams in Louisville with no problem. Then they got to Kansas, which you knew was going to be a dogfight to the end. What did you think watching it?
I think they played ugly. I think they played great defensively, and they played with a ton of confidence. I mean, that was a game that could have gone either way for quite some time. I think they were shooting 59.9% from the field going in. They shot around 40 against Kansas, and it kind of shows you how good they are, that when things aren't clicking on all cylinders, they were able to find a way to still get it done. And they got it done with defense. They got it done with free throw shooting. They hit some critical free throws down the stretch where they were able to keep Kansas at arm's length there in the final minute or so and not let it get dicey where, Kansas could have, I don't want to say get back into it like they were ever out of it, but in that final minute or so where Kansas could have tied or taken the lead. So, Jay Wright squad, we talked about this last time. Getting over that second round hump, I think, was huge for them. And, I don't think they're the favorite of the four teams left, but they are going to be very difficult to beat from this point on.
Yeah, I think they will be too. He does what. Then we see Pat Chambers do this, the 1-2-2 three-quarter court kind of slow you down, especially with the 30-second shot clock, and it leaves you with much less time offensively to operate. But he also, they did some great stuff with their matchup. Their matchup zone, I thought, was brilliant. I think Kansas was confused by it, Matt.
Oh, I think that was, I forget what the score was, but Villanova was down like 5 in the first half, and then they went on that 13-0 run, where they kind of seized control of the game, and they did it all defensively because they were no great shakes offensively during that stretch. And if anything, you might have been a little nervous going into the half because you felt like Villanova should have had a bigger lead But they forced turnover after turnover. They frustrated Kansas at the basket. They got it done with defense, and it was fun to watch. It was fun to see them come through it. I don't know outside of the Philadelphia area how many people thought that they'd be able to beat a team like Kansas, but it was impressive.
It was impressive indeed. Archie Dacanow is one of those kids who's, you know, he's got Villanova in his blood. You can see how much it meant to him. As a basketball player, what kind of improvement have you seen in him, Matt?
Well, first of all, I feel like he's been there for a dozen years.
Yeah.
Like, he really, I mean, he played, because he played so much as a freshman, right? The shot's gotten better. He's just become such a steadying presence. He's just so much confidence, and you saw him. He was one of the guys at the line late and was just able to bury it. And I thought I saw Jay Wright talk about looking in his eyes, and he was starting to tear up because he realized what he was on the brink of doing and stuff like that. And, yeah, that's really, really something special. And he's a special kid. And, you know, that's the type of kid Jay gets. Jay doesn't get a lot of the big-time All-Americans and the one-and-dones. He gets guys that are there that grow for 4 years. And when you've got a group that plays together that much for that long, I think it really shows in these tournaments, in games like that last night, that or on Saturday night. That's a game where teammates need to lean on each other because it comes back to the defense. It comes back to helping. You know, you get a kid like Bridges off the bench who had some huge steals down the stretch. It's really been quite the ride for the Wildcats, and I think a lot of people here are happy to see them get over that second round hump and get to where they are now.
Yeah, and they're there now. Ochefu inside is obviously going to be the one inside presence that they have. I thought Jay did a great job of spotting him so he could be fresh the final 4 minutes of the ball game. What does his presence just mean to give them a more complete team?
Oh, that's what it does. I mean, Jay's always going to have teams that shoot well from the perimeter, and they're always going to be based on the perimeter. But he is really an equalizer, and he's not just a big guy down low. He is a physical big guy, but he can also put it on the floor. You see him with kind of the running hooks through the lane and stuff like that. He really kind of helps to even things out and keep defenses honest. And that, you know, it's the ripple effect when you've got to pay that much attention to someone down low who can move his feet, can move side to side like that. It just makes it harder to defend all corners of the floor. And when you've got guys that can hit threes from different spots, that can create, you know, it really just makes it difficult.
You can vote for 10 players on the Wooden Award ballot. One of the 10 I voted for was Josh Hart. When you look at Josh, you know, what does he do that makes a big difference in Villanova?
Toughness, can shoot, can put it on the floor. One of those guys that just always seems to be in the right place at the right time, and I guess that goes to instincts, and just really fits well what they want to do. Hit a couple of big shots. I know hit one, specifically 1-3 the other night against Kansas in the second half where they, I think, grabbed the lead for good, where they hit back-to-back threes and back-to-back possessions, made it 50-45. Just always in the middle of everything. And I would put great basketball instincts high up on that list.
Did it help? This is probably a ridiculous question because it's just pure speculation, but did it help actually being a 2 and not having the burden of being a 1?
You know, I think that's something to that. I think it gave them maybe, they were able to play with a little bit more of an edge instead of a little bit more of that looking to justify the ranking. I don't think that's crazy. I don't know how big it was, but I think there is something to be said to that. When you've had the struggles they've had in the NCAA tournaments early rounds the last few weeks or last few years, I think any kind of a mental edge you can get, and when you not only get pushed to the 2 line, but get pushed to the last 2 in the region, you look at that as a little bit of, oh, well, they're not impressed with us. Well, maybe we'll make them be impressed with us. So I absolutely think there could be something to that.
And then obviously they've got Oklahoma coming up. Heald, obviously, is terrific. Woodard's terrific. I mean, it's the Final Four. You should be playing somebody that's terrific. What are you, just your initial thoughts on the matchup?
Well, I mean, when they played back in December, it wasn't much of a matchup. Oklahoma really took it to them. It was that game out in Pearl Harbor. I think it was 78-55. I mean, that's a million lifetimes ago when you consider college basketball, but if you're going to look at something to base that off of, both teams obviously much better. You know, it starts for, if you're going to talk about Oklahoma, it starts with the Heels kid who just went bonkers against Oregon. They're going to have to do a good job defending the perimeter, which they do. With Villanova, it doesn't take a superhuman effort for them. It's what they do, closing things out, you know, out deep. And that's where it will start. Haven't seen a ton of Oklahoma this year, so I'm not going to sit here and profess to be an expert on the Sooners, but you go on that first game that really Oklahoma dominated. I mean, that was a Sooners win through and through. But it was a long time ago. So, you know, I got a week here to speculate, to break down, to create, and it should be fun. It'll be interesting to see how it comes out.
What's really interesting to me is that there's, I think, might be something that works to their advantage that you wouldn't think about when it comes to defending Buddy Hield. As tough as he is and as great range as he is, that is, for whatever reason, a lousy place to shoot.
You'd mentioned that earlier. You had mentioned that to me before. That's interesting.
And I think that is something that it's the first game, but nobody's ever shot well in that place. I don't know why. I mean, I'm just saying it's an extra defender Jay can use.
It's the white guy down in Houston.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's the depth perception. Whoever created that, you know, I have to talk to Bill O'Brien about that. Better depth perception for Villanova. Hey, thanks so much, Matt. Appreciate it.
No problem.
9 NCAA tournament games played at NRG Stadium in Houston. Combined shooting percentage, 39.8 combined. And these aren't the last place teams in the league facing each other. They've all either been Final Fours or regional finals. 39.8. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
You just don't think about insurance. You buy a home, you take out a policy, and you forget about it until something happens and you need it. Then you think about insurance a lot. My agent recommended insurance from Selective. Insurance for our home and property, jewelry, even the food in our refrigerator. Selective thinks about everything, so I don't have to.
Selective. Response is everything. Get to know us at Selective.com.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at PrettyInsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
Smooth sounds of the 70s. Whoa.
A little sound of Philadelphia. Thought it'd be appropriate since we were just talking Nova Hoops.
Yeah. We're going to talk a lot about Nova Hoops the next few days, obviously, because they're going to go in the Big Five at a good year with three teams in the NCAA tournament and Villanova now in the Final Four. They got Oklahoma. But it's interesting that we talk about the games and where people come from. And now I'm going to get to something that's going to be an issue all week that's going to hang over the nightcap. And it will be an issue that hangs over the nightcap all week. For the NCAA, is it good to have North Carolina and Syracuse in the second game? Think about it. Done thinking? Now, it's great for name recognition, and none of the current players have any issues. But we're talking about image here. Syracuse just took a year out of the NCAA tournament in a year when they weren't going to make it. I mean, they weren't going to make it last year. It's what made it so
it wasn't like Louisville this year when they we self-imposed a tournament ban. You're like looking around like, Louisville has a chance to be one of the last eight teams in there. What? Syracuse had no chance of being at all a year ago of being an at-large team. Zero. None. And they weren't going to win the ACC tournament either. And Jim Boeheim sat out nine games this season as the overseer of the program. And I'm very careful to say as the overseer of the program because I'm not implicating whether he knew anything or didn't know anything. I think that would be absolutely wrong to do that. But that is the reason given. He sat out nine games this year because of that. And then there's North Carolina. Again, it doesn't involve any of the current players, but there is a particular class, if not a couple of classes, where showing up, writing a paper, taking a test, no need, you're all set. Which is incredibly egregious. And they're going to face each other. And Syracuse still has to, I think next month is the big month on this. The NCAA has dramatically dragged its feet on it. But it's going to be an issue that is brought up repeatedly at press conferences. Now, both coaches know how to handle it. They've both handled it enough during the season. So they really have their answers down pat as to how to handle it. But it's still another thing you have to handle. It has nothing to do with the game itself. None of the current players on either side have anything to do with this. None. Now, you can certainly ask questions as to what the coaches did and didn't know. You know, I think there is some sort of feeling that they're almighty overseers and of everything, and they know every single thing that's going on. Right? I can tell you right now, I don't know with my kids all the time what's going on. I got five of them. I can tell you right now, my odds of knowing everything that goes on with them or has gone on in their lifetime, okay? My odds of knowing everything are slim to none. And Slim just left the room. I'm realistic enough in my life to know that. The problem is when it comes to college coaching, there are some people out there that have ruined it by their own personal actions. And then there are others who don't know what, you know, are in the same spot as any parent and don't know what happened around them. Because there's so many people to watch all the time. I mean, every reputable college coach, by the way, dreads that after midnight phone call. Got one of your players down here. Oh, great. And what was wrong with you? You weren't out following around, making sure he was okay. You weren't doing that. Any coach worth their salt dreads that call, that 2 a.m. call. Got a problem. Or a note from an assistant or someone on the staff. We need to meet. X got in trouble over the weekend. Really? They all dread that. So I'm not implicating anybody. I'm just telling you that the questions are going to be brought up. And they'll be brought up because it turns out they're matched up against each other. I'll be really interested to see how well Buddy Hield shoots the ball. If he goes out and he goes into this thing and he goes out and hits 6 out of 10 threes, sitting there going, he is the next Steph Curry. Because this place stinks to shoot in. And I've talked about this. How many times have I mentioned this on the show in the last 3 months about the Final Four being in Houston? I mean, Sean, if I've mentioned it once, I think I've mentioned it a dozen times now in the last few months.
You have, and since the Final Four moved to stadiums, there's just no turning back.
No, there isn't, but you notice what they've done with the regional final? All the regional finals were in large but basketball venues. All of them. There were no regional finals in a stadium this year. Louisville's large, Wells Fargo's large, United Center's large, Honda Center, they're all large. They're all 19 to 22,000. But no stadiums. Now, next year, it will go to the University of Phoenix Stadium out in Glendale, Arizona. But see, that's the only stadium in the far west that you can really take it to that has that many seats. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. You're going to love our Bozo of the Day. You're going to love it. Minutes away.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by our great friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Look, you don't want to worry about your insurance. You just don't. You just want to make sure that you're covered, that you're insured, and you're not paying through the nose to get it. Purdy Insurance makes sure that you get the right coverage, whatever your needs happen to be, for the best price. And if something were to happen, they'll make sure you're covered, take the worry out of it, and they'll attack it as if it happened to them. That's Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15, and Hummel's Wharf. It's the spring. Go buy a car. And there's only one place to go. Actually, two. Pretty, that's obviously the great people at Sunbury Motors and then Sunbury Motors Kia. One's in Sunbury and one's in Hummel's Wharf. All right. Bozo of the day. Now, normally it's a sports bozo of the day. But I'm sorry, Sean, I can't resist on this one.
Can't wait to hear what this is going to be.
Orange, Connecticut, on a Saturday morning, and the Pez Corporation, Pez Candy. Have you ever had Pez?
Yeah, I've never little, had yeah the candy dispensers grown up as a kid. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I've never had it. Okay, but you've had it. Okay. Well, Pez Candy had to abruptly cancel its Easter egg hunt in Orange, Connecticut, Saturday morning after parents disobeyed the rules and turned the child-focused tradition, quote, into a mess. We sincerely tried our best to create a fun, free activity for everyone to enjoy. Due to the actions of a few, the good intent quickly turned into a mess, Pez wrote in response to a critical comment on its Facebook page. Well, he only wanted to do good for the local community. One parent said her son got a bloody nose from another parent pushing him to the ground, while a third claims her son's Easter basket was broken in the rush, according to the Hartford Courant. Orange police, by the way, said they did not respond to the event. Pez said it had over 9,000 eggs on three separate fields, each of which was designated for a particular age group, with the start times 15 minutes apart. But parents rushed onto the fields before the posted times. Somebody pushed me over, and they took my eggs. It was very rude of them. They broke my bucket, said Vincent Welsh, who's 4 years old. This is unbelievable. Unfortunately, people choose to enter the first field prior to anyone from the Pez staff actually being there to start the activity. That's because it wasn't supposed to start then. The crowd then moved to the second field, waiting only a couple of minutes, and then proceeded to rush that field without being directed to do so before the posted start time. The crowd then immediately moved to the third field and took that over and removed everything before the activity was even supposed to start. Pez says it did scramble to reach as many visitors as possible to make sure that each child got an egg or candy. We made efforts to get everyone something before they left and passed out a lot of candy and coupons and the front entry and the and tried to make it the best of an unfortunate situation. This was not something created to frustrate or make people angry. It's an Easter egg hunt. It's supposed to be fun. It's not supposed to be Battle of the Network Stars.
I don't know how many years they've been running it with three different fields. It sounds like the events has gotten too big for them to even handle.
They said it's their fourth year.
Huh. They have to go back to one field.
Well, what they did was there was ages like four and under, ages 5 to 9 and 9 to 12.
That's actually a good idea. Yeah.
So that's what they were trying to do, is they were trying to just organize it so the kids could go out. Okay, here's the horn. All the 9 to 12-year-olds go out, go in the field. There's 3,000 eggs there for you. 3,000. There's 3,000 on the other field. That's 9,000 eggs out there. All right. Now, why does a parent feel they got to rush the field with their kid and just give as many as possible? For goodness sakes, go to the 7-Eleven and get a Snickers bar. I don't care. It's just absurd. Where do you find these people?
When I was a kid, I'd probably prefer a Snickers over Pez anyway. So.
Oh, my goodness. Where do we find these people?
It's like you said when we. It's just like you said when we left here Friday afternoon at 5 o'clock. When we come back next week, yeah, we'll have some stupid stuff to talk about. Lo and behold, what'd you find?
Oh, it didn't take long.
No.
I'm sitting there Saturday afternoon, and this comes up. And I looked at it and said, you have to be kidding me. I mean, it reminded me of the Seinfeld episode where they were at a kid's party. And I don't know, the oven caught on fire or something, and George Costanza's throwing little kids out of the way so he can get out of the house.
First one out the door.
I mean, where do you find these people? It's an Easter egg hunt. You will get, there's 9,000 of them out there. You will get yours. And if you don't, we'll go to 7-Eleven. They sell more. We'll go to the local Walmart, something. We'll go to Wise. Go to Wise Markets. Okay? Get all the Easter candy you want. Stock up. It's an Easter egg hunt. Look, I realize there's a competitive nature in all of us. I understand that.
There's a time and a place, and that wasn't the place.
But you go out on a golf course, you and I are paired up against each other. You're trying to beat me, I'm trying to beat you, the whole deal. Even if you're out there playing around a round of golf by yourself, you're trying to really beat your own expectation. Okay, you know what? I'm an 11 handicap. All right? So I'm sitting there, and I'm trying to, you know, let's see. If I play bogey golf, I'll shoot a 90. If I shoot an 81, I've shot 9 below bogey golf. Okay. So we're all trying to, you know, if we have anything worth inside of us. But this is an Easter egg hunt. Okay. You're going out to get plastic eggs with Pez in them. I think I've just explained all of it. Where do we find these people? I found the whole story remarkable. Ah, 800-795-9565. 800-795-9565. It's an Easter egg hunt. It's for little kids so they can get eggs filled with candy. Yeah. Okay. All right, this isn't five loaves and two fish. That's all we've got here. Yeah, I'm like, okay, everybody, I'm a little worried. We don't have a lot of food. There's 9,000 of them out there. You're going to get your own, okay? You got it. Even if you get four, you're in good shape. It's four more than you had when you started the day. I think they said there were 1,000 people at this, something like that. I don't know. Whatever.
Family lives across the alley from my place. They always have an Easter egg hunt for their children and grandchildren every year. Some of the eggs are filled with money, and it doesn't get that hardcore than what you just described.
No, and it's you know, you try to make it a little more exciting. I mean, I know Sean puts 50s and 100s in some of those eggs, which makes it a little more competitive. No.
I think I asked the dad. I go, what's the richest egg over there? I think like 5 years ago, they've been doing this for like 10 plus years. Like five, like yeah. When we first moved in, I think it was 20. Then it got bumped up. I think to 50. Yeah.
He's got 50 in there.
Yeah.
What day does he do this?
Easter Sunday, right about 1, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah, they were doing that yesterday, right as my wife and I were going out to Easter dinner.
I got time. Yeah. If he's putting 50s and 100s out there, I can tell you right now, I'm swinging by.
I'd get up a little earlier in the morning just to see where the eggs were placed, just for curiosity.
I'll tell you, I'm more than curious now. I'm showing up next year, and I'm bringing the same mentality to the table those parents in Orange, Connecticut did. Get out of the way! Well, good for them. Boy, over 50 in them. 50s and 100s. Pretty impressive. I like it. I like it a lot. We'll come back. Look, does a bozo of the day get any better than that? It really doesn't.
Might be tough to top the rest of the week.
I mean, those people on Saturday, on this show, they are the gift that keeps on giving. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors has the cure for March sadness.
It's Ford Truck Month.
Sunbury Motors Ford has your truck. So avoid March sadness and don't miss these Truck Month deals. Choose from over 100 new F-150s with savings over 10 grand. F-150s start as low as $25,219. The Ford F-150 has been the number one selling truck 39 consecutive years.
There's one sold every 42 seconds.
Pick from over 65 new 2016 Ford Escapes and take $3,750 off. And they start from just $20,490. Get 0% financing for up to 60 months on all 2016 Escapes, Explorers, and Expeditions, and 2015 Edges and F-150s during SMC's March Truck Sale. Sunbury Motors is also the area's premier commercial truck center, stocking super duties like chassis cabs, crew cabs, dualies, and diesels. Avoid March sadness. Come get your truck at Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Marcus Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. They'll take care of all of your insurance needs, and they'll do it for the right price. Fits your budget. They are a complete insurance agency, and you just, you know, look. One of the last things you want to worry about is your insurance. You want to make sure it's all set. That's why you go to the pros. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I want a car? I go to the pros at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. So the Final Four is set. It's, again, all the issues. I mean, you look at today in sports. What are we bombarded with in today's sports? Let's see now. We want to talk about women's basketball. Do we talk about the greatness of UConn, or we talk about the perceived ineptitude of everybody else? Well, the perceived ineptitude of everybody else is, well, you know, UConn's ruining the game. They're just too good. That's the story. Well, No, we need to appreciate their greatness and that they're great. Everybody else has to somehow get themselves into the neighborhood of their standard. And we're always looking for flaws, it seems, in anything. It is easy to be a critic. The difficult part is actually having answers. Anybody can identify a problem. I mean, really, anybody can identify a problem. How do you solve the problem? Let's see. So here are today's headlines. Some I think legit, others not. Braves release Swisher, will pay him $10 million. Legit. Report, cops probing threat against Chris Paul's wife. Okay. Matt Harvey status for Mets opener up in the air. Okay. RG3 knows he was big part of DC issues. Okay. Really? Do I want to read that? Not really. Spieth and Fowler party down on boat after losses. Do you want to read that story? Is that a story? What are they supposed to do? Get in the fetal position in the locker room and cry while the semifinals are going on? Or do you just go, hey, look, relax, we'll be back, I'll clear my head, we'll go play again some other time. I mean, come on. Atlanta Super Bowl hopes revived after anti-gay bill veto. The governor vetoed that. It is significant legislation dealing with, if I recall the bill correctly, as to whether or not clergy could say no to performing gay marriage, I believe. If I'm incorrect on that, call me on it right away. I want to make sure. But the governor vetoed the bill. Chief safety retires due to multiple concussions. North Carolina and Syracuse, a headache for the NCAA. That goes. That's the story I was talking about earlier. Warriors, 75% chance of setting mark. Really? That's a story? Female golfer is on better pace, is on better win pace than Tiger. I don't know who that is. I'm going to guess it's Lydia Ko. Let me just look and see. Who is that? It is. Oh, it says that she's Lydia Ko. Okay, it is. All right. Let's see. We had, of course, remember, if you recall last year at Lancaster Country Club, we had Lydia Ko in the show, if you recall that. Treadwell runs poor 40 a pro day. Who cares? Okay. Hey, you want to impress me? Okay. Run the 40 in pads. You don't play the game in shorts and a t-shirt. I don't care if Treadwell runs a 4.65. It doesn't matter. Cyborg set for UFC debut. Rousey in future. Who is Cyborg? These are the headlines. Who is Cyborg? Featherweight champion Chris Cyborg Justino. Well, not that invincible. She's lost. She's 15-1, and that is one no decision. Okay. I don't know. Okay. That's on the UFC stuff. I admit, I have no idea. All I know is I was in the Indianapolis Mall 3 weeks ago, and we were walking down to P.F. Chang's to get lunch. It was Dave Baker, Dick Girardi, Jeff Tarman, and me. And it was raining out. That's why we went through the mall. Normally we'd walk outside. It was pouring out. So by walking through the mall, we were able to stay inside the entire time. and I went past a video store, and it had Ronda Rousey and McGregor. What's McGregor's first name? Do you know?
Conor McGregor. Yeah, he was just involved in a pay-per-view not too long ago.
Yeah, well, they're on the cover of the UFC whatever. I'm like, and I looked over the thing, and I said, they both just lost their most recent fights. I'm thinking, man, this is a really great promotion. They can't get any champion to stay champion. So those are the headlines. Most of them are just like nothing. Nothing. I could care if the Cyborg is making her debut.
I'm surprised you brought up. I'm surprised you did not bring up Johnny Manziel. There was like word that he was back in Vegas and with the and I'm talking. He's not even with a team right now. So it's the last thing I want to hear.
Right, but it's not on here. That's why I didn't say it.
Yeah,
I just went down in order of what they had. Most of these stories they put on there, I realize they're trying to get a wide variety on there, not just a few. I understand that. But it's so much stuff I'm just not interested in. Here's one for you. I want to find out this one. And I'd like to open up the phone lines tomorrow about this. ESPN is going to do a lot this week on WrestleMania. Now, is WrestleMania this week?
It is this Sunday, yes.
Sunday, okay.
Yep, it's in Dallas at Jerry World.
Yeah, it's at Jerry World.
Yeah.
They'll probably get a huge crowd there, and I assume it's pay-per-view. SportsCenter is doing a lot on it this week, and they're going to have Jonathan Coachman, who used to work for WWE and now is a SportsCenter anchor and a talk show host for ESPN. He's going to be down there anchoring their coverage of this. Is that something ESPN should be doing, in your opinion, as sports fans? I mean, I'm not going to... as sports fans, I'd love to open up the phone lines. And if you think it's a step in the right direction, they got you interested in watching SportsCenter, or whether you think it's stupid. I mean, what do you think? Do you think SportsCenter should be doing something at WrestleMania? Sean?
I know ESPN on their Tuesday night SportsCenter that Coachman does. He's been getting former wrestlers on. He'll do these long form 10-15 minute interviews with them. They've been doing that for the past couple of months. Guess they want to try to skew toward a younger crowd.
Well, for example, this morning when I was at Channel 3, Hannah Storm was talking with Brock Lesnar, former Minnesota heavyweight who's now a big deal at WWE, I guess. I just want to know, as fans, does more on WWE draw you to want to watch SportsCenter, or do you think it's stupid?